we have so much as Americans to be thankful for, and especially so much as God's people, as His church, to be thankful for. We are blessed in so many different ways. You know, James says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And we are blessed in so many ways. And sometimes we forget that. And so it's good to have a little reminder every now and then of that and of those different ways. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want, in a way to try to remember and to bring to mind all the different ways that we are blessed and how we can develop a greater attitude of gratitude this morning. But looking at Luke chapter 17, we all know this account of the 10 lepers and Jesus and how they come to Jesus and they're crying out to Him, "Have mercy on us," and Jesus heals all 10 of them. He doesn't just heal one, you would think so by the results, but He healed all 10 and they went their way, and yet only one out of 10 came back to give thanks to Jesus for this great gift of having his health back. Luke 17, and we're going to read, if you'd like to follow along, starting with verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 19. Luke 17, starting with verse 11, says, "When he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priests.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give thanks and glory to God except for the foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" I want to look at four different things this morning that will hopefully help us to develop a greater attitude for gratitude this morning. The first thing that I want to look at is, first of all, we need to take time to count our blessings. And sometimes we don't do that. We need to take time to count our blessings. We get so bogged down in thinking about all the problems that we have in our life, and because we all have problems. And sometimes we have more than at other times, but we also have a lot of blessings as well. And so this one Samaritan, he came back and he knew why he was blessed, and he thought about that. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Proverbs 28:20 says that faithful men abound in blessings. Faithful men, children of God that are faithful to God, we abound. That's us. It says we abound in blessings. In Psalm 116 and verse 12, it says, "What shall I render to God to all the blessings towards me?" What can I say? What can I give to God? What can I say to God for all the blessings that He so richly has blessed me with? Well, I'm sure if we sat down and took time to make a list, we could come up with a number of different things. But how are we blessed? Let's look at just a few ways. And I realize that not everybody in here is blessed in the same way. We're all blessed in different ways, and we're not all blessed in these areas. But if you're a child of God, every one of us are blessed in the last two here. But let's think about, most of us are blessed in these areas. And so let's look at these passages right quick. First of all, our spouse. Proverbs 19:14 says, "A prudent wife is from the Lord." A prudent wife is from the Lord. I thank God every single day for Stephanie. And I am a firm believer in the providence of God, firm believer in God's providence. And I don't have a shadow, I don't have a question in my mind that God put Stephanie in my life because I needed her. And you know, sometimes when we're thinking about our spouses, we sometimes jokingly, and sometimes there's some seriousness to it, we will complain and think, well, I wish he was more like this, I wish she didn't do that, and on we go. But you know what? There's so many people that aren't blessed with that relationship. And we are so fortunate to be blessed to have a spouse. If you have a husband or have a wife, that is a blessing from God, and we need to take advantage of that and thank God for that. And you know what? We might need to tell them every now and then. What about our children? Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Children are a blessing from God." Can I say this? Some of us are more blessed than others. In the sense that you have more children. I don't want to be more blessed myself. I mean, I think we're just as blessed as we need to be. But certainly children are a blessing. They are such a blessing. They don't always seem like they are, because sometimes they get into this or that and we have problems here or there. None of us are perfect. But what a blessing. You know, I was thinking this past week about our kids, and they're growing up so fast. We've got, and I'm not going to talk too much about this. Stephanie will be over there in tears, but the simple fact that Clay's not home, he's there in college now. We've got two that are juniors that are going to be seniors and graduating from high school next year, and the youngest one is 14 now and going to be starting high school. And that's just, it blows my mind to think of that. You know, I thank God every day for my kids. And we don't always get along or see eye to eye, and sometimes I got to be the bad guy, and sometimes Stephanie has to be the bad girl, I guess, but we love them, and we're certainly blessed to have them. What about this one, work? Do you think about your work as being a blessing? I don't a lot of times, to be honest with you, but we need to. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, at the very first of that passage, talks about what profit, and it's a question, what profit has the worker from his labor? So what profit, you know, does someone have from working so hard? Well, you skip down to verse 12 and 13. Notice what he says here. He says, I know that nothing is better for them, talking about the worker, than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift of God. And so I realize that, you know, we don't want to work sometimes, and sometimes we are looking for 3:30, 5 o'clock, whatever time we get off to get out of there and go home, and some of us might be looking for retirement and saying, is it ever going to get here? And we just don't like work sometimes. But I tell you what, you go to someone who is disabled, and for those here that are that way, I'm not trying to say anything and make you feel bad, but go to someone who's disabled and see how badly they would enjoy to work. It is a blessing that we have, and we're blessed in this country to have, and I know we're in a recession somewhat, but what a blessing it is to have a job. And you know, we need to teach our children that. We're raising a generation, it seems like, and I don't want to get off on this too much, but we're raising a generation that does not appreciate work. And we're raising a generation that basically says, give me, I deserve it, and that's not right. Work is right, and when we work hard and we realize that as being a blessing from God, then we are blessed from that, and that comes from God. The last two here, if you are a child of God, you have these blessings. Our Savior, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking about giving, and we talked about that several weeks ago. It's not a good subject, or not a fun subject to talk about when you're talking about people's checkbooks, I guess. But when he closes that, he's trying to encourage those Corinthians to give more and to be more liberal in their giving. And in verse 15 is the last verse of that chapter, and there he talks about our Lord, and he says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. And that's an understatement, I think, in a sense, because what a blessing Jesus is that we have our Lord and Savior, that he bought us back and redeemed us by his blood. And Ephesians 1 and verse 3 talks about spiritual blessings that we have. And we're not going to take time this morning to talk about all the spiritual blessings. Let me challenge you, go home and think about them and write them down. We've got so many blessings as God's children. We have the hope of, we talked about this morning in class about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the hope of heaven. We will be resurrected one day and we will be in heaven. We have that hope. We have that promise. That's a spiritual blessing. We have the peace that passes all understanding that anybody from the world cannot understand unless they are a child of God. We have that. We've been redeemed. We have so many spiritual blessings from God. One person says that if you count your blessings, it will multiply your happiness. And I believe that's the case. Let me challenge you to develop a more grateful attitude, attitude of gratitude. Count your blessings. Secondly, second thing we can do to have a better attitude of gratitude, we need to remember where we've come from. Have you ever had anything bad happen in your life? And maybe it's sickness disease, maybe it's the loss of a job, maybe it's having a job that you hate and you can't stand, you dread going to work. It might be financial troubles. It might be that you've lost your house or something. Whatever the case may be, but it's so bad that you finally get to the point to where that's all you think about. That's all, you just dwell on it and you think you're consumed with it. And every day you get up and that's what you have on your mind. And for the life of it, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because it just consumes you. And that's all you can think about. Well, then all of a sudden it got a little better. And then it got a little better. And before you know it, what was the problem again? Have you ever done that? I've got problems that I've had in my life back years ago that I honestly thought, will this ever end? Will this ever take care of itself? Can I ever get out of this mess? And now, it's ancient history. I don't even remember what some of those problems are. You know, sometimes we need to think about where we've come from. Sometimes we need to, it does us good to think about where we've come from, to appreciate where we are right now. Now, this one leper that came back to give thanks to Jesus, do you think about where he came from? You think he thought about that? He was coming back and falling at Jesus' feet and giving thanks to him. He knew where he'd come from. He understood what he had been cleansed of. Leprosy was a terrible, terminal disease. The man was going to die from this. The man undoubtedly had limbs that were literally coming off of his body. The scales of a person with leprosy, his skin would become like scales. There was a stench that also came with this disease. There was a social part of it to where you were an outcast and not allowed in society. Couldn't even be with your family. But this man realized that he had been cleansed of that. Now I realize that not all of us have dealt with an illness in our life. But you know what? We all have been lost in sin. Every last one of us have been lost in sin. And because of Jesus Christ, we've been cleansed of that. What greater blessing is there? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And you," talking about Christians, "and you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And skipping on down to verse 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." Oh, what a blessing. I tell you what, it might not be a physical condition, but every last one of us have been lost in sins. And whenever you're down on your luck, and whenever you're depressed and you're having a hard time with whatever is going on in your life, remember, if you are a child of God, remember where you came from. Remember the sin that you were involved in and lost in. Remember when you were converted. You remember the day that you became a child of God? You know, it does us good sometimes to think back about that day and how happy we were when we had our sins forgiven and became a child of God. That could help us to think back about those times. Paul's example in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 sets a great example for us. He says here, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." Can we not all say that? By the grace of God, I am what I am today. Now, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 13, he says this, talking about what he was. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." What was Paul? Well, he says here, "I was formerly a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." You know, Paul says, "I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. I was this and that, but because of the grace of God, it was abundant towards me, and because of that, I am what I am today. I'm saved today because of the grace of God." Now, every single one of us can fill in the blank there. Every one of us can go back and say, "You know, I was this or I was that. I was an alcoholic maybe, or I was this, I was that. I was involved in this sin, involved in that sin. But by the grace of God, I'm not that way anymore. By the grace of God, I've been saved." What a blessing it is. Third thing that can help us develop an attitude of gratitude is we need to focus more on the giver than on the gift. Focus more on the giver than the gift. If you'll notice, going back to the text here in Luke chapter 17, notice what this man does in verse 16. It says that he fell on his face at his feet giving thanks. He didn't just say, hey, look at me, look at what I am, I'm healed, I'm cleansed, look what I have. I'm sure he was thrilled about that, but what did he do? He went and thanked the giver. Now, all of us that have had children have had birthday parties where we have our child there and they've got all the presents around and you have the parents and the grandparents and the friends and family that are gathered around and that child's digging into his presents and unwrapping and he finds something that he's been wishing for, he's been hoping he would have, and he gets so excited about that he starts playing with it. And where's that card go? It'd take that card and chunk it. And we have to say, hey, did a card come with that? Open that thing up. Who did that come from? You need to go give uncle or aunt so-and-so a hug or a kiss and thank them for that. Why? Because without the giver, there would be no gift. Without the giver, there would be no gift. This year, we've been thinking and talking about as a theme, focus looking on the man Jesus. And that's exactly what our intention was this year. Instead of just looking at all the blessings that we have in our life, to look at the man, to look at the giver, to look at the reason why we have all the blessings. Instead of just looking at his word, to look at the very source of the word and the source of the blessings. That's what we need to do. And we're told to do that in so many different places. Look at these passages right quick. None of these are very long. We'll read these. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Says this, giving that we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're always to give thanks to God. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says, and you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith and as you have been taught, abounding in it. He's talking about abounding in faith and abounding in Jesus. And he says, with thanksgiving. I truly believe that the more that we grow, the more we abound in faith, the more we grow spiritually, the more thankful we are. Because the more we see the blessings that God gives us. Colossians 4 verse 2 tells us to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. A very important, a very vital part of our prayer life should be thanksgiving. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in asking God for things and God help me with this and there's a place for that, that we forget to thank God and to praise God for who He is and what He's done for us. There's a place for that, and that's a very, very important thing to do in our prayer life. I love to hear a child pray. Don't you? I love to hear a child pray because they don't leave out a thing. They'll thank God for the blades of grass, for the trees. They'll go down the list and not just thank God, thank you God for my family. They'll go down the list and they'll start naming individuals. And you know, we kind of chuckle about that and think, yeah, that's cute and everything. You know what? We can learn from our kids sometimes. You know, we need to do that ourselves. Sometimes we need to be a little bit more specific in our prayer life and give thanks to God. Look at this passage, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. There it says, therefore, by Him, let us continually. Notice this is a continual thing. It's not something we do one time a year. It's something that we do continuously every day of our life. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you see a theme in all of these different passages? That we need to praise God, that we need to be grateful, that we need to be thankful, that we need to express that? It doesn't just need to be kept inside and thank it. We need to express that and let other people see that. And so not just during this time of year, we need to be thankful to God in every season. We need to realize, unlike our society today, it's not all about me. It's about the giver. It's about God. What can I do for Him? What can I do for my fellow man? What can I do for my brethren? Not what can I do for myself. And you'll find happiness, I guarantee you, once you learn how to serve. Fourth and last, we need to remember how wrong ingratitude is. just how wrong ingratitude is. Here in the text, Luke 17 and 18, says, then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give thanks or glory to God except for this foreigner? You know, I think we all have this problem. Think about this. It's hard for me to understand this and to get to wrap my head around this. These 10 men were going to die. They had a terminal disease. They were hurting. They were in pain. They were social outcasts, rejects, didn't have their family, didn't have their friend. And because of Jesus Christ, they had every bit of that back. But yet only one? Only one out of 10 of them could come back to give thanks to the one that gave them that? And I think about that, and then I think about us. And I think, you know, we're kind of the same way, are we not? As Americans, are we not like that? How many people in here, and there might be some, but it'd be few, and I doubt there's anybody in here that spent last night in a ditch somewhere or under a bridge. And I know that there are people that have to do that because they don't have a place to stay. But I bet everybody in here has a house and has a warm bed that you slept in last night. A house that is cool during the summertime, nice and warm during the wintertime, and a nice bed. And it might not be the house of your dreams, but you have a house. You know, we go to a refrigerator and open it up, and our question is, what do I want to eat? I don't have anything, and sometimes we don't, and then what do? We run to the grocery store and get something else, or go through fast food or somewhere and grab some food. Think about how many people that don't have anything to eat. Think about how many people that the question is not, what do I want to eat, is when am I going to eat? They exist. They exist here in America. Think about how blessed we are. How many times do we go to our closet and we open up our closet and say, I don't have a thing to wear. I know I say that all the time. I just grab something and put it on. I don't have a thing to wear. We're about to go here and I don't have anything. You know, and we have a rod probably on either side of our closet that's so packed full of clothes we can't possibly squeeze another garment in there. You know, and there's people walking around without shoes. Brethren, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. You think about how it makes God feel when we as His people complain. Think about that. Think about the Israelites in the Old Testament. They're slaves, and so they pray that God delivers them, and so they're delivered, and they get to a body of water, and oh, they throw up their hands and start complaining, I guess, God, they're going to kill us right here. No, God provided a way, imparted the water, and they're there walking in the wilderness, going to the promised land, and they start complaining about having to walk. And then they start complaining about not having food. God gives them food. They start complaining that it's not the kind of food they want. They start complaining about the leadership. They complain about everything. What happened to those people? God killed every one of them in the wilderness because of their ingratitude. We're challenged to be grateful for what we have. We're challenged to look at the positive side and to look at the things that we do have in this life. Helen Keller, we all know who that is. She was born and raised in North Alabama, and she had so many different challenges in her life. She was born blind and deaf, as we know. But towards the end of her life, they were questioning her and asking her several things in her life about her unique challenges and how she dealt with those things. And when I read this, it just about made me break down and cry because, honestly, I'm an ingrate a lot of times. I'm not thankful like I should be. Listen to what she says here as a response to their question. Here's a quote from her answer. She says, so much has been given to me, I have no time to ponder of that which has been denied. This woman was born blind and deaf, had so many challenges, and she says, so much has been given to me, I don't have time to think about the things that I don't have. And I think about me. You know, do we do that? We've been blessed so richly. Do we take time to think about all the things we don't have, or do we take our time in thinking about all the things that we do have and how richly God has blessed us? That's our challenge. We need to do that. We need to think about those things that we have instead of the things that we don't have. We need to rejoice, as this song says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Paul, sitting in a prison cell, said, you know, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Why is that, Paul? Because I'm a child of God. And that's the most important thing. You know, Jesus came here to this world to live a life among His creation, to suffer and die for us. He came here to die, basically, so that we can live. I live because I've been born again through the blood, through the water, because of Jesus Christ. Have you been born again this morning? Have you come in contact with that saving blood? Can you thank God in this season of Thanksgiving? Can you thank God for the greatest gift that man can have? And that is the gift of salvation. If not, it's freely given to absolutely everybody. Nobody's more important. God is no does not show partiality. If you have not done that, won't you come, obey the gospel, receive salvation while we stand and sing.